and grandkids that I want the Lord to let them alone for a while. Give them a chance to turn. So we're going to start off talking about Luke. We're going to be reading Luke 13, verses 1 through 9. So if you'll stand, we'll honor God as we honor his word, and the Lord does answer prayer. And so be a prayer warrior for your kids and your grandkids. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree, and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." Father, those we love that are not producing your fruit, we don't want to see them cut down. Father, give them more time if it's your will at all. Help us, Lord, to be gracious, because there was a time in our life, had we been cut down, we would not have had eternal life. Father, help us to be gracious to others that are struggling, that don't know you yet. It doesn't mean they never will. And so, Lord, help us to be those that bring hope and hold out hope. And Lord, we'll give you the praise now in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Bearing fruit is extremely important to our Lord. He wants each of his children to bear his fruit, not our own fruit, his fruit. Very important you understand the difference. When our Lord takes time to tell his own disciples a parable, he's letting us know it's very important to him. So the instance of the parable was that a fig tree, and it's an interesting thing, in the midst of a vineyard. What's a vineyard? It's a grape arbor. What in the world is a fig tree doing in the middle of a grape arbor? It's such a strange story. But in Luke 13, verse 6 again, our Lord said he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." Our Lord wants us to know that bearing fruit is extremely important to him. If you're a Christian and you're not bearing fruit, I want to tell you, you are in danger, whether you know it or not. The Lord says, as Christians, if we don't produce his fruit, he won't prune us. He'll cut us down. Folks, so many people that have named the name of Christ, when we take communion, the first week of every month, when we read the communion story, it tells about the people in Corinth. Many were weak, many were sick, many had died because they took communion in an unworthy manner. What does that mean? That means maybe they were believers, and yet they had sin active in their life, knowing the Lord was displeased, and continued in it. And the Lord said many of them had died. Folks, God wants us to produce his fruit. He doesn't want us producing our fruit, because our fruit is not good. In Matthew 21, verse 18, this is how important it is to the Lord. Not only did he tell the parable, now he brings it to fruition. Early in the morning, as Jesus was on his way back to the city, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it and found nothing on it except leaves. Then he said to it, "May you never bear fruit again." Immediately, the tree withered. When you think of your Lord, do you think of a patient man? I do. But here's a fig tree. He goes up to the fig tree. It's got leaves on it, but no fruit at all. Patience, Lord, patience. He had had enough of leaves and no fruit. When a fig tree has leaves on it, it's supposed to be producing fruit. But this particular tree at this particular time did not. And he cursed it. And it withered and it died instantly. You might say, aren't we a little impatient here? No. The Lord had waited and waited and waited on that tree. Bearing fruit in our lives is extremely important to our Lord. He expects every single one of his blood-bought children to producing his fruit, not our own fruit. Our own fruit is like leaves. It looks good on the outside. Everybody, whoa, what a beautiful tree. But that's not all there is to the Christian life, is just being beautiful and having a pretense for people to see, I'm a godly person. You know, the Pharisees tramped around with their robes and their bells and all the rest, trying to look holy. What did Jesus call them? A whitewashed sepulcher, dead. It looked good. Everybody praised them. Whoa, these guys are really religious. And yes, there's a lot of people that are very religious, but they're not born again, and they're not living godly lives. They try to act like they are, but they aren't, and they know they aren't. Again, Luke 13, verse 6. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. Again, a bit strange, because I don't know anybody that plants a fig tree in a vineyard. What would a fig tree do in a vineyard? It would shade the grapevine. You don't want shade in a grapevine. You want the sun to hit them so the grapes can mature, but here's a fig tree in the middle of it. So I want to talk to you first about the vineyard. The one who planted the vineyard is none other than the Lord God. And the vineyard was none other at the time that he planted it than the nation of Israel and Judah. In Isaiah 5, verse 1, he talks about this. He says, I'll sing of the one I love, a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower on it and cut out a wine press as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. Now you dwellers in Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? Now I'll tell you what I'm going to do to my vineyard. I'll take away its hedge, and it'll be destroyed. I'll break down its wall, and it will be trampled. I'll make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated, and briars and thorns will grow there. I'll command the clouds not to rain on it. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel, and the people of Judah are the vines he delights in. And he looked for justice, but saw bloodshed, for righteousness, but heard cries of distress. Folks, the Lord looked at the nation of Israel. If you recall, the Lord took Israel out of slavery in Egypt, took them to the promised land, wanted them to be the witnesses to all the nations around them of God's greatness and glory, and win the whole world to faith in God, Jehovah God. Israel, instead of doing that, became very corrupt in their ways, and they did not do what God had called them to do. Instead of having the fruit of God in their lives, they had fig leaves in their lives. Man's works, man's religion. I want to look one more time at Luke 13, verse 6. Now I'll tell you what I'm going to do to my vineyard. I'll take away its hedge, and it will be destroyed. I'll break down its wall, and it will be trampled. I'll make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated, and briars and thorns will grow there. I will command the clouds not to rain on it. Folks, it's extremely important we understand what's going on here. Jesus is warning his own nation. Remember how many years Jesus witnessed or lived on this earth? Not lived on the earth, but when he was baptized by John, he witnessed to the nation of Israel 3.5 years. That was his ministry. We're in the third year. Jesus is looking for true fruitfulness in the nation of Israel. And he says, I have not found it. The nation of Israel, by and large, rejected our Lord. They rejected his word. They rejected his way. They did not believe he was the Messiah. In fact, they asked Pilate to have him put to death. Jesus said, for 3 years, I've looked for fruit in this nation, and I have not found the fruit of God. Remember our Lord's words spoken to one of the religious leaders in Israel? This is Nicodemus. This is found in John chapter 3 and verse 1. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He was one of the 70 leaders of the nation of Israel. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher who's come from God, for no one could perform the signs you're doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they're old, Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be, Nicodemus asked. You're Israel's teachers, said Jesus. Talking about the leaves that Jesus saw and no fruit, it takes us all the way back to the beginning, all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. I want to show you the leaves. Leaves represent man's religion, and it's so important to know the difference. There are all kinds of churches meeting today, and many of the people in those churches have never been born again. They give to their church, they got baptized, they serve in Sunday school, they sing in the choir, but never born again. Look at Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden. But God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You'll not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves. Does that remind you of the story we just read? Fig leaves. They sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. And what did they do in relationship to God? Instead of confessing their sin and running to God, the Bible says they hid from God. Folks, that's what fig leaves do. It's not the fruit of the Spirit. It's not figs. It's not something you can eat. It's leaves. And so many people that attend church week after week after week have leaves. They're never born again. Do you know that Fruit tree can't produce fruit until what happens? It has to cross-pollinate somehow. There has to be life given. And then it can produce fruit. Folks, the same thing is true in your life and mine. Until the Holy Spirit comes in you at the moment of salvation, you can't produce God's fruit. You can make all kinds of leaves. You can look really good to the world. You can go to church and your priest can get up or your pastor can get up and they can preach a great sermon and you can sing beautifully and you can walk out totally unchanged. All you have is leaves. You're still hiding from God. You still have not been to Jesus Christ for salvation. And it's so important to understand that. There was no repentance of Adam and Eve. In fact, God had to get rid of the leaves. And it says in Genesis 3:21, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and he clothed them. Do you know the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin? God is the first one that shed blood on this earth. Cain wasn't the first one. God was. God slayed an animal. We don't know if it was a lamb or what it was, but he took the skin of that animal, and he clothed them. Folks, God wants to clothe you, but he wants to clothe you with himself. Look at John 15:1, talking about the vineyard, talking about the leaves and all the rest. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Now, I want to stop there just for a second because we're going to talk about that in a minute. I want you to look at that carefully. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you know you have received him, but you're not producing his fruit, what does he say he's going to do to you? He's going to cut you off. Your life is going to wind up short. Why? Because he hates you? No. Because he wants you to be a testimony for him. And if you're a bad testimony, that's how you Christians live. That's how you Christians talk. You're no different than anybody else. Folks, we ought to be different. The Bible says we are a peculiar people. But many Christians are not peculiar anymore. They're just like the world. They go along to get along. The Lord wants you different. He wants you producing his fruit. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it'll be even more fruitful. We don't want God pruning us. We like our lives just the way they are. You ought to praise God that he prunes you. He prunes you so he won't have to cut you off. You take the choice. You want to be pruned or you want to be cut off? I'll take the pruning, thank you, Lord. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. You can produce leaves. You can look ever so religious, but you cannot produce God's fruit yourself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Our Lord Jesus is the true vine. He sends out God's sap through him to us, and if we stay connected, we can't help but bear his fruit. But if we don't stay connected, guess what we produce? We produce leaves. Leaves don't give life. Fruit gives life. And so God wants us fruitful. Even today we find a warning. You know, he said that leave it for one more year. Lord, let it alone one more year. Do you know the Lord destroyed the nation of Israel? The nation of Israel, for almost 2,000 years, didn't even have a nation. 1948, they went back in the land. But do you know today, still in Israel, 99% of the people are not Christians at all? Don't even claim to be Christians? They're not witnessing to the world the way God meant them to be? He set them aside. And we look at the church today and we say, wow, the church is so fruitful. It's all over the world. But I want to tell you, the church also can be set aside. Look at Romans 11:13. I'm talking to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I take pride in my ministry, in hope that I may somehow arouse my own people to envy and to save some of them. For if their rejection brought reconciliation to the world, what will their repentance be but life from the dead? If the part of the dough offered as first fruits is holy, then the whole batch is holy. If the root is holy, so are the branches. If some of the branches have been broken off, talking about Israel, and you, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among others, and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root, do not consider yourselves to be superior to those other branches. If you do, consider this. You do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off that I could be grafted in. Granted, but they were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but tremble. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Folks, there's going to come a time when the church is also going to be turned aside. There's going to remember Jesus said, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? Whether you know it or not, many churches that used to be gospel-preaching churches are no longer gospel-preaching churches. They're going along with the world. They're saying whatever the world says, that's what we believe. You want to be healthy? You want to be wealthy? You want to be wise? You want to live in sexual sin? You want to have homosexual relationships? You want to go out and get drunk? It's all good. Just keep bringing the money. Folks, it's happening all over the place. Our Lord did everything he could do to save the nation of Israel. He shed his blood for it, and yet they rejected him. He didn't find fruit, and so he destroyed the nation. He promised that they would always be a nation before him, and they are going to be a great nation again, but they have been set aside. I want to talk to you about your own life, about your church's life, about our nation. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Lord wants us to know, as his disciples, we are to take the gospel. That was why God chose Israel. They were to take the gospel at that time, that Jehovah will save you if you will trust him. They didn't do it. The church has the same exact command given to us. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The Lord brought the church along to be his witness to this world. When the church stops doing that job, it's just going to be leaves. That's all it's going to be. And many churches are just leaves today. They're not active in sharing their faith. Let me ask you, and don't raise your hand, don't answer me, just stop and think for a minute. How long has it been since you actively shared your faith with anybody, hoping to win them to faith in Jesus Christ? Just as a personal thing, as a church, are we actively sharing our faith in this community? Folks, those questions are important questions. The Lord warns his blood-bought children to be very careful how we live. Look at John chapter 15, verse 1. Jesus said, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so it'll be even more fruitful. When you read the book of Revelation, you find a church that the Bible says he was going to take the candlestick away. You know what the candlestick is? It's that church shining the light of Christ to the community. When a church stops doing that, they're going to stop preaching the gospel, and all they are is a social club. That's what it amounts to. We want everybody to be good. We want everybody to be happy. We want you to know if you're a good person, God loves you, and he's going to open heaven for you. Folks, it's the lie of Satan. If you're not born again through personal faith in Jesus Christ, I don't care how nice you are. I know a lot of really nice people They go to church every week. They do all they can to live right. But if they're not born again, they're not going. And we have to warn them. We have to love them to Christ. I want to show you what can happen to a person, and this happened right at the start of the church. It's a warning for each and every one of us to be very careful how we live. In Acts chapter 5, verse 1, "Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property, which his wife, full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself. But he brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, 'Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you've lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received from the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You've not lied just to human beings, but to God.' When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, 'Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?' 'Yes,' she said, 'that's the price.' Peter said to her, 'How could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they'll carry you out also.' At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came and came in, and finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events." Great fear should reign in all the church. God hates sin, especially in the life of his own children. He hates you lying to the Holy Spirit. So I want to ask you two questions. Number one, why did Israel produce only leaves and not good fruit? Just think about that one for a minute. Number two, why do many Christians today, at least professing Christians, I believe also possessing Christians, why do they produce only leaves and not good fruit? What's the problem? The answer is it's always because of unbelief. We don't believe God. We don't believe his promises. We don't believe his word. And therefore, we do what we think is best. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he's given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. Let me ask, do you believe that? If you do, if you really believe that this Bible, and I don't care if you get a King James, an NIV, or an NTL, I don't care what type, if you believe this is God's word, how much time do you spend in it? Look at your last week, just the last 7 days. How much time have you spent in here? Folks, it's important. All that we need for life and godliness is right here. It's God's manual for life. And yet, so many Christians never take time to get in it. I'll just give you a bit of advice. Out on the back table there is our daily bread. Every day in the daily bread, if you read the daily bread, every day at the top, it's got verses, or at the bottom, it's at the bottom, chapters to read every day so that every year, you read through the Bible once every year. Why would you want to do that? Because everything I need for life and godliness is right here. Why would I not want to do that? Because I don't believe it. That's why people don't read the Bible. It's not because they just too much time. People can sit 3 hours every night watching their television and don't have 15, 20 minutes to read through the Bible in a year. It only takes 15, average reader. I'm just an average reader. It takes me 15 minutes about to read that. Nothing to it, but it'll change your life. You'll start producing God's fruit. God is not looking for man-made leaves. He's not looking for you to look good on the outside. He wants you good on the inside. He wants a changed heart. That's what he's looking for. What he's looking for is his fruit. So what is his fruit? In Galatians 5:22, he tells us, this is what he's looking for in your life and mine. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Some of you were in the military like I was. Who calls the cadence when you're marching? It's the drill sergeant. I don't call the cadence. He calls the cadence. And when I get out of step, I can still remember Sergeant Woods, my drill sergeant. Larkin, get in step. Folks, that's what the Holy Spirit's trying to do for us. Get in step with the Holy Spirit. The love he's talking about here is not the love the world talks about. It's a love that loves no matter what somebody does or says. We have to learn how to be forgiving because real love forgives. Man-made love, I'll love you if you love me. If you do this, I'll do that. God's love is I'm going to love you no matter what you do. Remember what Jesus prayed on the cross as he was dying? He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Folks, we don't forgive the way we ought to. We don't live it. So what happens if we do not produce God's fruit? We of all the people on this earth are the most blessed because we have the Word of God. We say we believe the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit living in us, transforming us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. So the question is, why don't people change? Why aren't people living lives of love and gentleness and goodness and kindness? It's because of unbelief. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6? 1:6? Okay. I'll read Hebrews 11, 6. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and must believe that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Let me ask you, do you think God really rewards those who earnestly seek him? Because if you do, you're going to earnestly seek him. But if you don't, if you think, I don't see any difference in that guy's life who's really seeking the Lord. In fact, he doesn't have as much as this guy over here who's doing his own thing. I think I'm going to do my thing this way. Because it looks like, you know, the Bible says we don't live by sight. We live by what? Faith. That makes all the difference. This man over here that's living for the Lord may not have as much right now. But this right now only lasts. I'm 75. I've got less than 20 years, almost surely. Less than 20 years. Am I so excited about what that guy's got? Or am I looking at this man that's living for the Lord that's going to get an eternal reward? That's going to make a difference for his children, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren? I'll take that life anytime. Folks, it's so important we live by faith. People try to say, well, you know, I'm getting a little older. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. God's not going to buy that either. Look with me at Psalm 92. This is so exciting to me because as I'm getting older, this is what I want. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They'll grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they'll flourish in the courts of our God. They'll still bear fruit in old age. They'll stay fresh and green, proclaiming the Lord is upright. He's my rock, and there's no wickedness in him. Folks, that's the way I want to wind up. I don't want to wind up an old, grumpy old man. I want to wind up a loving old man. Folks, I know outwardly, the flesh, the bones. I was coming here today and I saw an older man lives down the road over on Fergus going into his house like this. You know, in 15 years, that's going to be me. Folks, that's the way it is, isn't it? Outwardly, we're wasting away, but inwardly, we're being renewed day by day. I'm stronger today in my faith in Christ and my daily walk than I've ever been in my life. And if I get another 20 years, if I just keep doing the same things I'm doing, I'm going to be stronger still. And you can too. It's not one or the other. It's all of us. The Lord wants all of us to be productive and producing His fruit. And it's there for whosoever will. In John 15:8, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Folks, it's in that producing of the fruit of the Spirit that the world really says, wow, that guy, that gal, they know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Jesus said, when they see your love one for another, they'll know that you're my disciple. Folks, it's so important. In Proverbs 11, verse 30, remember I talked about producing that fruit and it'll affect your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren? This is one of my favorite verses. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and the one who is wise saves lives. People can come to you if you really know the Lord. They can say, how do you keep doing the things you're doing? I know you got just as much pressure on you as I do, and yet you still keep loving people. You still keep joy in your heart. How do you do that? The door opens wide open for you to reintroduce them to Jesus Christ. They'll come to you for the fruit, and they'll find the fruit master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, that's what it's about. So one last question. When God looks at your life today, does He see the fruit of the Spirit? Is it His love that's being shown? Is it His joy that's there? Is it His peace that you revel in all day long? In trouble and out of trouble, you still have His peace in your heart. That's what He's looking for. The only way anybody can produce God's fruit is to stay connected to Jesus Christ, to get your life from His life. Look at one last verse here. Well, two. We got John 15, verse 5 first. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you. Wow. Is that a pretty good invitation? This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Imagine having answered prayer in your life. It all depends on being connected, bearing His fruit, letting Him live His life through you, because then guess who's going to be directing your prayers? It's going to be Him. He's going to tell you how to pray and who to pray for and how to pray for Him. One last verse now. This is, remember we mentioned at the start, we were talking about, are you sure you've been born again? We're in the loop right now. Maybe you're here and you're not quite so sure. I want to show you how you can be sure. Look at John chapter 1, verse 12. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to that which is own. He came to Israel, but His own did not receive Him. Yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. It boils down to this, my friend. If you're not sure, here's how to be sure. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I believe with all my heart, Jesus Christ shed His blood on that cross to pay for my sin. And today, Lord, I want to personally receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might be, not could be, will be. But if you're not born again, you can be the best mother all your life long, or best dad, the best husband, the best wife, the nicest person, the best neighbor, and you will not go to heaven. You will burn in the lake of fire. There's going to be a lot of really nice, nice people that are going to go to the lake of fire. And there's going to be a lot of rascals like me that are going to go to heaven because of faith in Christ. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a good person. Paul said, I know that in me what? Dwelleth no good thing. I'm rotten to the core. But Jesus Christ loved me, and he died for me. And I believed it, and I still believe it. And I received him as Savior, and you have the invitation to do exactly the same thing. You may not hear bells go off. You may not see fireworks. But God has given you a promise. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you need a Savior. When you think about the name of Jesus, I want you to think this. What does the name Jesus mean? It means Jehovah saves. God is my Savior. Why? Because nobody else could do it. I can't save you. I'm a sinner too. The priest, if you go to a Catholic church, the priest can't save you. If you go to a Lutheran church or a Methodist church and they got their robes and they look official and it looks so holy, folks are a sinner just like you and me. There's no difference. We all need a Savior. And God has provided a wonderful Savior. Let's close. Father, how we rejoice that you had a plan at the very beginning. You told the serpent that the seed of the woman was going to crush his head. Father, we're grateful. We're sad that he had to have his heel pierced and that he had to shed his blood. But Lord, we're so grateful for the plan. Father, I pray for anyone here today that hasn't received Christ, that today might be that day. For those of us that have received Christ, Father, I pray we'll keep producing fruit. Fruit that can remain. Fruit that people will be able to see that person is a disciple of Jesus Christ. Father, bless us today and use us for your glory. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen. We're going to sing in closing today, number 350, I believe it is. Yep, 350. Oh, happy day. The happiest day of my life. I got to tell you, my wedding was a very, very happy day. But it didn't compare with my being born again.